Open your Bibles up to, we better do communion. You're back. You didn't take your ivermectin before you went to Vegas, did you? You did? I talked to my friend, and he got sick out of Vegas, and he said his wife had been telling him for a month to take ivermectin because they were going to go to Vegas. She took hers, and she came back healthy. Well, Father, we thank you for the communion. Father, we thank you for the precious body and blood of Christ. Father, the body of Christ that never knew any sin was beaten and bruised for us. And Father, he was beaten for our transgressions and he was wounded for our iniquities. And then he got scourged. And the Bible tells us that it's by his stripes we were healed. And his body was pierced. And everywhere his body was pierced, he shed blood. And he did it on purpose for our redemption. Father, let us see how many different ways he suffered for us in his passion so that we can receive everything he intended for us to receive in it. Father, we know that the body of Christ took the full wrath of God's fiery judgment for us. He took all of our sins, all of our sicknesses, all of our diseases. He took all the curse for us. So we're taking of this broken body for our healing and well-being. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. John 1:7 says that if you walk in the light as we are in the light, the blood of Jesus continually cleanses you from all sin. In order for it to do that, it has to still be alive. And it is still alive because the blood of Jesus was never, ever contaminated with sin. So it never dies. Not only did the blood of Jesus wash us clean at the new birth, but it continually washes us. It put us in right standing with God. And it's because of this blood of Jesus that we can go boldly into his throne room of grace and receive mercy and grace in times of need. So we thank you for this blood in Jesus' name. Open your Bibles up to Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The Lord sent a word unto Jacob and it hath lighted upon Israel. The birth of Jesus signifies the arrival of ultimate hope for humanity. He brought light into darkness and he offered salvation. You know, sometimes we find ourselves in situations that may seem hopeless. You know, certainly before we got born again, we were in a lot of hopeless situations. But the thing about Jesus is he gives hope. You know, the Bible tells us that if Jesus Christ in me, the hope of glory. And one day we will meet Jesus face to face. He will complete our redemption. But we need to have hope while we're on this earth. Hope is the anchor for our souls. See, sometimes we get distracted and we start looking at wrong things. We start looking at things other than Jesus. And we start feeling that hope kind of slip away. But when we get re-anchored and get re-centered on the Word and start looking straight at Him, when you're looking at the Word, you're looking at Jesus. The Bible tells us the Word became flesh. That's Jesus. That's the anchor for our souls. That's where we get our hope. I don't know if you've ever noticed, but people, places, and things will let you down. You know, we can't put our hope in people, places, and things. You know, life has a way of happening. And when we put our hope in those things, and they let us down, sometimes the crash is great. The Bible tells us we need to build our life upon the rock, not upon the sand. When we're putting our hope in these different things other than Jesus, we're building our life on the sand. The floods will come, the storms will come, and the crash will be great. But if we're building it on the rock, that means we're putting our hope in Jesus. You know, sometimes people get mixed up between faith and hope. You know, we are supposed to live by faith. The Bible tells us that the just shall live by faith. The hope has a very important part in our spiritual life. See, that gives us something that we can sink our faith into. You might say that hope is what we use while faith is reeling the catch in. So it's good to hope. You need to get your hope up. Find something to believe in and hope for it, but also put your faith in it. Jesus is our hope. Without Jesus, there is no hope. But with Jesus, no matter how dark the circumstances may be, we have a chance. We have hope. See, sometimes people give up. You know, certainly when Jesus was born, he was born into a very dark world. I read an account of Israel at the time of the birth of Jesus, and it sounded like an absolutely horrible place to be. It was, you know, we act like abortion is almost a new thing, but they had that back then too. Things were just terrible. It was a mess. But Jesus came here and brought light into our dark world. You know, one thing, when Jesus was born, the angels showed up and they said, "Peace on earth, goodwill towards men." They were letting us know that the war between heaven and earth was over. Jesus came here, he brought peace. You know, before we get born again, peace is something that was kind of hard to find. And the world is seeking peace. They just don't know it. You know, but they're looking in all different directions. They go to the doctor and say, I need this thing to shut up. The doctor will say, take two of these. Take two of those. And then pretty soon they got to take 10. Sometimes people look for peace of mind when they go start drinking. Sometimes people are looking for peace of mind when they overeat. Sometimes people are looking for peace of mind when they get caught up in different sexual addictions. Sometimes people are looking for peace of mind when they get up, caught up in overworking. You know, you can overwork. You can become a workaholic. You know, you can get so busy doing what you're doing that you're not thinking about what you don't want to think about. See, what people are really looking for is a pressure relief valve. There's a void inside of every man until they get born again. And that void can only be filled with Jesus. And then he wants us to keep filling from him so we can have that peace of mind. You know, peace of mind is one of the most sacred things you can have. Some people call it serenity. But there's a rest in salvation. And that's something that Jesus came to bring us. He wants us to have rest. He wants us to have peace. He wants us to have joy. In fact, he said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. The kingdom of God, we found out, is love, joy, peace, and the Holy Ghost. When we find out that God has truly forgiven us and that he's not accounting our sins to us, we can have peace. Love and joy happen to be fruits. All these things come from abiding in the vine. The more we learn of Jesus, the more of these things that are going to happen in us. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 talks about the birth of Jesus. And it fulfilled Isaiah's ancient prophecy. Long before Jesus got here, this prophet was talking about Jesus. Long before Isaiah got to this earth, God had prophesied about Jesus. In fact, God prophesied about Jesus in the garden, when he told Satan, said, there's coming one that is going to bruise your head. The seed of woman. Have you ever thought about that before? You know, women don't have seeds. Seeds come from man, from the male. You know, in fact, that's where your blood comes from. See, this is why this is so important. He said the seed of woman, she was going to have a baby, but that seed was sacred. That's why Jesus got the blood of God in him. All of us, we got Adam's blood in us. That means we got contaminated blood in us. That's why we need Jesus. Amen. But Jesus didn't have contaminated blood. That's why his blood is still alive. That's why his blood can wash away our sins. And that's why it's his blood that we rely on for salvation. One thing about when they were talking about Jesus, they came up with several different names. And one of the names was Emmanuel. Means God with us. Let's look at Luke chapter 2, verse 10. Luke chapter 2, verse 10 says, and the angel said unto them, fear not, For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest and earth, peace, goodwill towards men. Jesus got here. I think they had a huge celebration. Those angels were, I think they were celebrating because God finally got his salvation to this earth. What he had been working on for thousands of years. He had prophesied all these prophecies through all these different generations, all these different people. And finally, his Savior got here. I mean, he got back in the presence of his creation. The creation that was separated from him for thousands of years. We were never supposed to be separated from him. You know, we were supposed to be in that garden with him. You know, we were not supposed to die. We were not created to die. We were just supposed to keep on going and going and going. But sin entered the equation, which brought the curse. But in Christ Jesus, the sting of death has lost its sting. There's no sting. We've already done all the time we're going to do. Now we live forever in him. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5 tells us that God will never leave you nor forsake you. Sometimes you may feel like God is 1,000 miles away in our challenges. We may be going through a struggle and it may seem like he's just as distant as the stars. I know I used to pray that way. I used to pray way out there, hoping I could reach heaven, you know. It took a little bit for me to understand he was inside there. And that he would never leave me nor forsake me. Even when we make mistakes. See, he's not the God of the Old Testament anymore. He's the ever-present, right here, right now, God, where Jesus, our high priest, that saved us. And he said, he will never leave you nor forsake you. That should give us peace. That should give us great hope. You know, go back to Luke chapter 2. In verse 12 it says, this shall be a sign unto you, you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. You know, Jesus was born, and at that time, they had these sheep herders, these sheep men that raised sacrificial lambs. Yeah, I always had this idea that when Jesus was born, they were too poor to get a room at the inn, so they went down to a barn, and I always thought this barn was somewhere down in the ghetto, and that they just had to have that baby there in the ghetto. That's not the way it was. See, these professional sheep herders would raise these sacrificial lambs. And they had a barn up on top of a hill with a tower so they could look out there and see predators. And then at night, when they'd bring those sheep to this barn to protect them. And then when these baby lambs were born, they would wrap them in swaddling clothes. So that these sacrificial lambs could not get any nicks or blemishes on them. And then they would put them in the manger to protect them. And these mangers were made of stone. They were hewn out . So Jesus' first bed was a manger, and his final resting place on this earth was on a rock hewn out. Jesus was the one man that was ever born to die. Nobody else was ever in them shoes. We were supposed to live forever. And now in him we do. Sometimes this world seems so dark. Sometimes we deal with people that just are impossible. Sometimes we deal with situations that just seem, you just wish it never happened. But Jesus brought light into darkness. Let's look at John chapter 1, verse 5. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. You know, I always wondered about that verse, and I thought that word comprehended it meant that the darkness didn't understand it. But that's not what it was. What it says there is the darkness cannot overtake the light. You know, when somebody told me, said there's really no darkness, there's just absence of light, that brought that verse home. The dark situations that we face can be resolved when we add light, when we add Jesus. You know, you can go into a dark room, and the minute you turn the light on, the darkness is dispelled, isn't it? See, the minute we add Jesus into our dark situations, that darkness gets dispelled. The darkness cannot overtake the light. Our freedom and our joy and our peace is truly wrapped up in him. You know, John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus just flat out told us and spoke Jesus again, saying unto them, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You know, sometimes people get wounded, and they bury those wounds, and they don't want anybody to ever see those wounds. What they don't realize is that they'll let Jesus in and add light to those wounds. They'll be set free. When you add light to that darkness, it'll dispel that darkness. You know, a lot of people try to hide from Jesus because they don't want whatever they did exposed to the light, because there's been wrong teachings. Sometimes they think that whatever they did wrong gets exposed to the light, that they'll have to pay some kind of consequences. You know, Jesus met a woman at a well one day, and he told her about her five husbands. And then he told her, said, actually, the one that you live with now isn't even your husband. Now, see, he didn't use that knowledge to destroy that woman. He used that knowledge to set her free. He brought light into her darkness. And she walked away free. And actually, she went and told her friends, and they got set free. See, we don't need to be afraid of the light. We should run to the light. Jesus is the light. He is the one that sets us free. He's the one that he'll shine his light on our darkness so that we can walk away free, not condemned. Jesus has hope for the broken. Let's look, Isaiah chapter 42, verse 3. We'll go there. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 3 says, "A bruised reed shall he not break, and the smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth." Sometimes when people make mistakes, they're wounded. And they're afraid to run to Jesus. Because they think maybe that he's going to judge them for their sins. But he will not break a bruised reed. In fact, it's when we get wounded, that's when he wants us to really run to him so that he can heal us. You know, he's the only one that can cleanse us from our sins. He's the only one that can fix our mistakes. And most of the time, he's the only one that really wants to. Just like the prodigal son. The story tells us that his father seen him afar off and went running to him. The minute we turn to him, he's already there. The only time he seems distant is when we're walking away. But the minute we turn to him, he's already there and he's already accepting of us. You know, the really neat thing about the prodigal son, when he got there, his dad put a coat on him. He put sandals on him. And he put a ring on his finger. And then they threw a party. That was full restoration. He didn't just put a coat on him to keep him warm. You know, when the Bible tells us when we get born again, we get a robe of righteousness. He put that coat on his son to let him know that he was in right standing with him. And then he put a signet ring on his finger. I mean, authority. You know, Jesus gave us authority to use his name. And he put sandals on his feet. That signifies sonship. That's full restoration. When we get born again, we get shod with the sandals of peace. It's a good thing that God did to us when we got born again. We didn't even know most of it. If you're like me, you was getting a get out of hell ticket free. That's really, honestly. Somebody told me I didn't have to go to hell if I got born again. My hand was up in the air. And then somebody made fun of me. Said, "All you did was get a get out of hell free ticket." Yeah. Because I didn't know anything else. I didn't know anything else. All that I knew is that God raised Jesus back to life and I confessed him to be Lord. That's all I knew. So yeah, basically I did get a get out of hell free ticket. I needed one. I guess they were mad because they were trying to get me to hell. But it took one evangelist from Texas to drive all the way to Wyoming to get me that ticket. Praise God. Let's look at Romans chapter 8, verse 24. Romans chapter 8, verse 24 says, For we are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why does he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. You know, there's a lot of things that we don't have, but we hope to have. We believe we receive them now, but we use hope for the anchor for our soul because we can't see it yet in the natural. A man without hope. And I've ran into a few of them that thought they had no hope. They couldn't see that any hope. They're in a dangerous place. But we have to understand, as long as we have a breath in our body, we have hope. As long as we can whisper one word, we have hope. I knew a lady, she had a stroke, and all she could do was say one word. She could say covenant. So she just started saying that over and over and over. See, she had been studying covenant with God. She knew she had a covenant with God. So she had this stroke. Now, it's the only word she could barely say. She said covenant over and over and over and over and over again. And then she got better. She could walk and she could talk. And she went to the doctor. And she's sitting on the table. And the doctor said, he come in there pretty excited and said, you've had a major stroke. She says, I know. And he said, but you're not supposed to be sitting here talking to me like this. I said, I know, but I am. God restored her. As long as we have a breath in our bodies, we have hope. You're not in a hopeless situation. There's always a chance. And this is the really cool thing about the grace of God. It's when we get in these situations where it seems like we have no hope that God can show up and show off and show us the things that Jesus can do, but we can't. That's when it gets really exciting. You can believe for miracles. You can believe for healing. You can believe for these things. But what you need, you got to start hoping for it and you got to start visualizing it. When we visualize these things that we want, when we see ourselves having it, then guess what happens? It starts getting more and more real in us and then we receive it. There was an evangelist walked up to, there was this lady evangelist, she was on the street, and there were like five people in wheelchairs. And she told these people to start visualizing themselves walking. And she talked to these people, and she talked to them, and talked to them, and pretty soon she prayed for one, he got up and took off. Prayed for another one, got up, took off. Prayed for another one, got up, took off. Prayed for another one, got up, took off. Got to the fifth one, and nothing. And the guy told her, said, I can't walk. She said, I didn't ask you if you could walk. I told you to picture yourself walking and get going. He stayed in his wheelchair. See, thing about your subconscious mind, and you have to deal with it all the time. Your subconscious mind is going to do just exactly what it's trained to do. You know, your subconscious mind doesn't know right for wrong. All it knows is what it's trained to do. So when we study on something and we meditate on something, pretty soon your mind is going to accept that as being reality. And then you're going to step out in your new reality. Wonderful thing about Jesus, he tells us in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, he brought salvation to us. Salvation. You know, for the longest time, I treated that word salvation as being born again. And then I looked that word up and I found out it takes us something like 28 English words to describe that one word, salvation. You know, when God would start talking to these Hebrew people and he'd come up and tell them that word salvation, they get a big picture of what salvation meant. All these different things. Healing, restoration, deliverance, and protection. All of this stuff that a man needs wrapped up in that word salvation. We've been running around preaching born again. But you need to be preaching healing and deliverance and protection. That's the gospel. Jesus brought salvation. Now we can understand how some of these church fights get started. If we learn to translate these words for what they really are, it'd stop a lot of this nonsense. You know, there's a group of people running around saying, you're not all the way saved yet. And there's another group running around saying, once saved, all saved. You know, they're both right. But they fight about it all the time. You got to understand, when you got born again, you got saved. Praise God, you're going to heaven. You got saved. But we're talking about salvation. So, are you done being healed? Are you done being delivered? Are you done being protected? There better be some head shaking. No, I'm not done being... Then you're not done being saved. And then when we get to heaven and we see Jesus face to face and he completes our redemption, we will be saved. So you are saved. You are being saved and you will be saved. You're saved already. Once saved, always saved. You're born again. Does it really matter? Yes. You want all the salvation that you can receive. Amen. Receive as much of it as you can here. Receive everything you can from God. Jesus came here so that you could have life and that you could have it more abundantly. That's salvation. He wants you to have more than enough. He gave you a blank check. When you got born again, people don't realize this. Jesus gave you a blank check and said, fill it in for whatever you need. And people go up there in their vain attempt at being humble and fill it in for $5. Well, I just need enough for me and mine and we'll be all right. That's selfish. Go in there and fill that thing out for a big amount. So that you have too much, so that you have some extra to give out. Amen. Thank you, Father, for the birth of Jesus. Father, we thank you that salvation is in his wings and that we're under his wings. We're wrapped up in his wings. We're protected by you. Father, we thank you for that supernatural birth that caused us to be able to be saved. And Father, we thank you for the passion of Christ everything that he did for us in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And Father, we thank you that because of him, we're never alone. You're always with us, and that you will never, ever forsake us. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.